Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for coming today. I do love our black churches. I have friends who are there. I was in Dairy Queen not long ago, and I met a local pastor with one of our black churches. Had a great time fellowshipping together. And they have a different style of preaching and worship than we do. They stay awake, and you don't. They have much more fun than we do. But the black preacher was preaching one day, and he said, you know, our church needs to get started, really gets to moving. This church needs to crawl. It needs to start moving forward. And the whole congregation said, let it crawl, preacher, let it crawl. He felt a little bit more motivation. He said, you know, and since this church is crawling, we need to get up. We need to stand up. We need to move forward. We need to walk. When this church needs to start walking, everybody said, let her walk, preacher, let her walk. He kept going. He was really getting enthusiastic. He said, you know, if we start walking and we really get excited and serve the Lord, this church can run. This church needs to run, run, run. Everybody said, let it run, Lord. Let it run, preacher. Finally, he said he was really worked up. He's breaking a sweat and really getting excited. Preacher, as a church, we need to get up and crawl. We need to walk. We need to run. And if this church really starts moving, it needs to fly. And they said, let it fly, preacher. Said, but if this church flies, it's going to take a lot of money. It got quiet in there. Finally, one man stood up in the back and said, let it crawl, preacher, let it crawl. Sometimes we feel the same way when we think about the privilege, the joy, the opportunity to participate in the kingdom of God in a financial way. So our deacons are guarding all the doors. You can't leave. They're locked. And your cars have been demobilized. They can't move anywhere. So you're going to have to listen. But when I preach on giving, it's really a joy. You know, we had a doctor for about 20 years, and I'm convinced that medical doctors who go to medical schools, there's probably a two-week session that they all have to go through where they work on their thumb. And they perfect the thumb technique. So when you go to see the doctor and you say, Doc, my hand's hurting, and it's right in here somewhere, and he uses that thumb. And he locates it, and he says, ooh, yeah, you got it, Doc. You know, they're really good at locating the problem with that thumb. And it hurts when they find that spot. And that's kind of the way it is about the aspects of the Christian. I could preach on prayer today. How many of us pray as we ought? I think very few do. Some of you have an active, ongoing, regular, passionate prayer life, but some don't. And I believe that the Holy Spirit has a thumb. Not literally, but if I preached on prayer today and I preached on it hard and I drove it home to you, to everyone in here, some of you would feel the Holy Spirit's thumb pressing on your heart, and it would hurt a little bit. Because you don't pray. You don't pray as you ought. You don't pray in the morning or evening. You just kind of live life without seeking the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit's thumb would find that place where it hurts, and hopefully it would do some good, and you would become more and more of a prayer warrior. I could preach on witnessing. How many of you shared the Lord with somebody last week? How many of you had a gospel conversation with someone? I think very few of us do that, and that's a shame. I could preach hard about how you need to share the Lord with your family, with your friends, with people that you know, taking the opportunity, being brave enough, courageous enough to tell these folks what the Lord means to you and help them to come to know your Savior. Our assignment in this life is to go to heaven ourselves and to bring as many people possible as possible with us. That's what this offering is all about, the idea of committing to missions. But I could preach on witnessing, and it would have a little sting to it for some of you, because you don't do that. You don't make an effort. And it's much the same about giving. All of the categories of our service for God are basically the same. It's a privilege to pray. It's a privilege to witness. It's a privilege to serve God in church and in other places. And it is also an amazing privilege. It's one of the greatest joys of the Christian life to get in on the giving thing. It's a privilege. And if somehow the Holy Spirit presses on your heart and it hurts a little bit, then there may be something wrong. There may be something, an area in your life where giving might need to be bumped up somewhat. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, and I pray that it helps you. Brother Jerry, is the budget in a little bit of a bind or something? Why are you preaching on giving? You know, are we behind on? Absolutely not. I don't even know how we're doing. I don't check on those things. But I think we're doing fine. This is not about what the church needs. When Jesus talked about it, it's not about what needs to be built or done or fixed. Yeah, we need to respond to need from time to time. But the basic principle of tithing and giving has nothing to do with need. It has to do with being obedient. It's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of the promptings of God to participate in His kingdom in a significant way. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. You don't need to turn there. Let me just read that let me find it here real quickly. Yes, he says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Isn't that good news? That if you choose to sow financially into the kingdom of God, you're going to reap in a significant way. And I think that's such a privilege that we have. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Don't take this message today as the preacher is just fussing and leaning on it. I'm not making you do anything. I'm giving you the news, the information to help you to get on some of the greatest parts of the kingdom of God. And it has to do with our finances with regard to giving. We should give what we've decided, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves cheerful giving. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. How positive is that? How uplifting is that we have a great privilege to get involved? But there's something about money. There's something about our possessions that causes us to truly be reluctant. I could preach on praying, and some of you would feel like, well, I need to do more. You'd feel a little bit bad at the end of the message. I could preach on witnessing, but most of us would just kind of leave and hopefully try to do a little bit better. But when the preacher preaches on our pocketbook, on our finances, on our financial resources, it gets a little edgier, gets a little tougher. But the Bible has so much to say about our giving and about our finances, and we need to get involved. And if you're a person and you're not participating in the kingdom of God in a financial way, you need to do that for your sake, not for what the church might need at that particular time or someone else might need. There's another passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonians, the churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. You've read about the Macedonian church and how that in their poverty, in their extreme poverty, they gave not just generously, but they gave extravagantly. And the Apostle Paul is affirming them in this text. They gave so much. And so we are blessed to such a large degree that we become stingy, we become careful and cautious, we protect our pocketbooks, and sometimes we think that everything has to be just right for us to give. I don't like the carpet color in here, so I just think I'll withhold that little bit of money. You know, I think that we need a different kind of literature, so I'm not going to give quite as much. The preacher didn't wear a tie today, so I'm going to withhold some. You know, we go on and on about what we prefer and what we think church ought to be. Listen, that ought to have nothing to do whether you're content or happy or whatever. It should be a natural part of your life. You know, I'm hesitant to talk about these things, but when Pat and I came to know the Lord some 43 years ago, something like that, we had to make one decision about tithing, one in 43 years. See, every Sunday you don't decide if you're going to tithe or not. Every Sunday you don't wake up and say, well, honey, we got these expenses, what do you, maybe we shouldn't. No. 43 years, we don't talk about that. It's just a done deal. And by the way, when we tithe, when we give a 10% of our gross income back into the church, I believe it's God's plan for funding what we do here. And it's an amazing plan. And it's you only have to decide to do it one time. And that's it. It's done. And it's something that's a part of your makeup, a part of your life. Brother Jerry, I don't think I can do that. I don't know how to do that. And we've got too many bills. And I've heard all that. I understand. But you still only have to decide to do it one time. And God will help you to process the rest of it. And then stand back and watch what the Lord will do on your behalf. It says in Luke chapter 6, give and it will be given unto you. Any questions? Well, if I give it, God, I'm in trouble. No. Give, and you'll get God's attention. Take care of what he tells you to do, and you've got his attention. He comes along, and he does what he says he will do. Give. And God says, I will give to you. I will provide for you. And he says, well, how will he do that? How much will he give to you? How will he take care of me? I'm a country boy. Kind of a make-believe one. I grew up around Ricky Jones, and he's really a country boy. He's a country boy on steroids. I'm not, but I know what it means to pick a bushel of peas. I've done that, and you know, if you pick a bushel of peas, you don't just pick them and throw them in there. No, you drag that bushel along, and you begin to put them in your hand, and you stack those peas in your hand until you get a good handful. Some of you are nodding your head. You've done that. And then you stuff it into that bushel. You get another handful, and you stuff it in there real tight, and you keep stuffing it in tighter and tighter and tighter all the way up until it's full. The Bible says that when you give, God gives back to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what God will do for you. I love this next part. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I started to bring, I taught school for 4 years, and I know that we learn by multi-sensory things. And I started to bring some things and put them here on the pulpit. I started to bring a thimble, a little sewing thimble, and then a coffee cup, and then a measuring cup, and then maybe a glass. And then I'd have over here some other bigger things, a pitcher, and then I could have over here a shovel. And then I could have over here something bigger than that. You see, if you give from a thimble, if you fill that thimble and you put it in the offering plate, the Bible says you will be measured, it will be measured back to you in the same way. Any questions? Well, if I just give a little bit, Bible says, you know, in other words, God is an amazingly, he's just, he's fair, he's righteous, and his ways are perfect. But if you progress and you move toward, all the way toward the fact that when you take that shovel and you dig down and you put that there, God's shovel is bigger than your shovel. As you give, it will be measured back to you in the same way. My question is, how much do you want to be blessed by God? How much? Well, the problem is most of us don't really trust him. Do you trust him? Is he trustworthy? Has he proven himself to you? Oh, many of you would raise your hand and say, well, Jerry, I've been tithing a long time too. I've been giving. It's just a natural part of who I am. You see, the Holy Spirit's thumb is not bothering you right now, is it? I'm not preaching to those of you who understand these principles that I'm sharing today. You're sitting there really comfortable thinking about lunch and what you're going to do the rest of the day and the Dallas Cowboys. You know, you're comfortable with this sermon. But it's those of you who are following the Lord. You're a Christian, but you've never taken that step. Oh, I know you've got credit card debt, and you owe for this and a new car. I understand all that. You've got kids that are involved. I know that. When Pat and I started tithing, I was making $400 a month. And when we went to seminary, we had a house in Lafayette and a house on the campus, an apartment on the campus, and I was You know, I mean, it was just difficult to, but God just carried us the whole time. He knows how to provide and to bless. I'm trying to persuade you today to trust what God says in His Word and step out in faith and do something that's so exciting, something that's so positive, so happy. See, this is not about the church. This is not about me. This is not about what anybody needs. This is about you. It's about your journey, your walk with the Lord. Bible says He loves a cheerful giver. You know, some people use that phrase. They say, Lord loves a cheerful giver, but He taketh from a grouch. You heard that one? That's not true. It's not true. If our hearts are not right and we give begrudgingly, I almost think the Lord sets that aside. I think He spiritually sets it aside. But if we give with a heart like the Macedonians, full of love and grace, and we give generously, I really believe that God takes that. But because how much money does God need to advance His kingdom? There was a widow who was very poor in the Bible, and she gave less than 2 pennies in an offering plate. And the Lord Jesus Himself, the Messiah, the one, God in the flesh, looked at her and speaking to those around Him said, she has given more. Everybody say more. More than all those wealthy people who dropped the coins in there and made all the noise and you know, just they were just so proud of the amount that they gave. Jesus said, look at her. She gave more. No, wait a minute. 2 mites and all that? No. Wait a minute, Jesus. She didn't. Yes, she did. You see, God doesn't need that. He takes the amount that's given with joy and with peace and with purpose and in faith, and He multiplies it. You see, with those 2 little pennies, God can print a little tract or a little message, and it can be left somewhere or handed to someone, and they can take it home, and that son can read it, and he can become the next Billy Graham, where millions of people can be reached for the gospel. God, it's not so much the amount as the way and the heart in which it's done for the glory and the praise of God. Sacrifice does matter. Yes, giving beyond what we think we can, yeah, that matters, because God honors that kind of faith. As you measure out your giving, let's just fill up this little thimble full, or you take the big shovel full. Whichever one you choose, God will measure back to you. God's economy is different from ours. He's looking at your heart, not your checkbook. He's looking at your heart. And if your heart is darkened by greed and selfishness and me, that will be harmful in the kingdom of God. I was thinking about this message and the fact that you and I have a worldview. What is your worldview? What is the way you look at the world? Most of you in this room, you look at the world through the pages of this book. You look at the economy. You look at politics. You look at the world situation. You look at nature. You look at the things that we do. You look at the whole world, and you filter it through the message of this book. That is called a biblical worldview. Now, some in this room today don't have a biblical worldview. You have a worldview that's somewhat different. And certainly most of the world has a worldview like this. Malcolm Forbes made the statement, the one with the most toys wins. He made that statement. If you got the most toys, you'll win in the end. And you know what I mean by toys. Trinkets and things to do. And if somebody's got something, you've got to have it. And the latest thing for hunting or fishing or golf or whatever, you got to have the latest toy. And that's a worldview. The one with the most toys wins. More things, more all this. You got to have that. You got to have it. And that's not a biblical worldview. That's not a biblical worldview. The one with the most toys does not win. Because Jesus said, He said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. What we possess doesn't determine the quality of our lives and our service for Him. Another worldview is I've got to think of me first. I've got to think of me and mine first. And the Bible says in Matthew 16, for he whoever wants to lose his life will find it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You want to find life? You want to find meaningful life, purposeful life? You want your life to be full and joyful and happy? Have a sense of peace rather than being frazzled and fried and worried and stressed and pulling and tugging at life, battling each and every day. Then get this matter of your life squared away. Develop a biblical worldview that says, I need to give not just my money into the kingdom, I need to give my life. Did you notice the video? Those were real human beings in that video. People who left their homes to go to a place to find a man on a beach who needed to find his way back home. Real people do that. And you and I need to give our lives away as well as our resources. Because if you give your life away, Jesus says you will find it. But if you hold on to it, if you calendar things just for yourself, just for your own fun and pleasure, the Bible says you're going to come to the end and you're going to have a dry taste in your mouth. It's going to be hollow. It's going to be shallow. Give your life away. That's a biblical worldview. There's one more that the world is competing with us for. And by the way, the Bible says don't be conformed to this world. These are worldviews that the world is trying to force us to be and to do. We need to fight against that and resist it, because the last one says, do what feels good. Do what feels good. That's called hedonism. And it has to do with pleasure seeking. Everything that we do needs to be pleasurable. The things that we will enjoy that will simply add more thrills to what we're doing. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Hugh Hefner of Playboy fame. That was his philosophy for living. It's all about pleasure. It's all about me feeling good. Proverbs 21:17 says, he who loves pleasure will become poor. And in the Message translation, it says, are you addicted to thrills? What an empty life. The pursuit of pleasure is never satisfied. You see, our life is a life of faith in obeying what God says, and when we pursue Him, Matthew 6:33, seek first, not second, third. Don't add God onto your life like an appendage. Picture your life as an old wagon wheel, and you have spokes in that wheel. I've got my recreational life. I've got my married life. I've got my fun life. And I've got my all the education life. And there's spokes in the wheel. And all of a sudden, you add another one. I go to church on Sunday. That's my religious life. That's my Christian life. And you add a spoke. That's not a good picture. Not a good picture of what our lives should be like. Your Christian life has not a spoke. It's the hub. It's the hub of the wheel. Your Christian life is centered in Christ. And everything else emanates from Him. If you happen to have the time to recreate, take Jesus with you. And be alert when you go to recreate, when you do what you do. He is the hub of your life. He is the center of your life. And if you're addicted to thrills and pleasure and me first and one with the most toy wins, that's what the world is doing. And we are not to be conformed to the pressures of this world. There's a greater joy. There's a greater pleasure. There's greater peace. When you put your head on the pillow at night and just simply lie there and say, God, thank you for everything you do for me. And find the peace and the joy and the pleasure in that. That's the true answer to life. Mick Jagger has been saying for over 40 years, I can't get no satisfaction. Did that tell you something? What's Mick Jagger seeking? Pleasure and fun and all that. And it's simply not available to those of us who serve the Lord. Oh, it's always a perfect time to talk about giving. It's always a good time to speak about giving because it's in the same category as praying and witnessing and reading your Bible. It's just another aspect of the Christian life. But if the Holy Spirit's thumb is pressing on your heart right now, saying, you know, got a lot of debt, and I've got all these things, and even with all that debt, I want a little bit of more of this, and I've got to keep up with my friends. You need to get off that train. Get off that train and begin to pour your life into the kingdom of God with your finances, your resources, and all that. Brother Tommy Kiker, I was talking to him about telling him what I was going to do today, and he said, yeah, be sure to remind him that when you make a commitment to missions, one world, one mission, that's not your tithe. The tithe is the Lord's. It belongs to Him, and you never, this is important, you don't give the tithe. You simply return the tithe. It's His already. It belongs to Him, and you do that. And this is an offering, and we give offerings to other things and missions and other kinds of things. And there's a singer that comes in. We give an offering for that. There's the tithe that already belongs to the Lord, and you simply return that to Him. And then there are offerings that are given in other kinds of ways. Well, do you want to please God? Do you want to honor Him? Then you must find a way and step out in faith and honor Him with regard to this matter of giving. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. And for some in this room, to begin to tithe would be a major step of faith. I just want to cheer you on. I just want to clap for you. I want to, our children are running around a track in a race. We yell, we scream, run, run, run. We cheer them as they go around. That's all I'm doing today. I'm cheering you on to keep running and moving toward that step of faith, saying, I don't think we can do this. And if you put it on paper, you can't. You put it down on paper, you go, I can't do that. No, no, don't put it on paper. Read this paper and obey what God has to say and stand back and watch over time how He provides for you and takes care of you. God will watch over you in a special kind of way. Read about a monk who was walking along, and this monk had found a very precious stone of great value. He found it, and he simply put it in his little pouch, and this monk kept walking, came across a person who was very much in need, and he looked at that person, and he reached into that pouch, and he pulled out that extravagantly valuable stone, that mineral or whatever it might have been, a jewel. And he gives that to the person who was in need. And the person took it, and he was so excited. He said, this has to be worth so very much. And he ran away. He left to go turn it into money so that he could utilize it. Well, the next day, the man came back, and he met the monk. And he took out the stone again, and he gave it back to him. And he said, sir, I'm going to give this back to you. I want you to give me something that is more valuable than that jewel. I want you to give me that which caused you to give it to me. See, it's not about the thing. It's not about the money. It's about the heart. Where is your heart? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if your heart is in every toy that's out there, every little thing that's out there that you've just got to, if that's where your heart is, your money's going to follow that. But if your heart is in the kingdom of God, your heart is in making disciples of people all over this world, if your heart is concerned about people being saved and taking care of things around here that we need to take care of so that we can do Awana with the children and have a good children's experience and do all the things that we do, if that's where your heart is, and it should be, it's where the greatest joy is, it's where the most fun is, that we're involved here and less in the world. May God help us to get there. May He help us to do that in the days to come. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this message today. I thank You for the testimony of those who go from east to serve You in other places. Thank You for the word that was shared about the man who was sent home to be with his parents and his life transformed because of that. Father, I thank You for the privilege of giving. Thank You that You're a God who gives. and blesses in so many ways. And Father, I pray for those who might need to take a step and decide, even in this moment, I'm going to do that. Honey, I'm going to do that. Let's do that together. Let's take the step of faith and begin to tithe and to give offerings beyond that for the glory and the praise of God. You'll have more peace. You'll have more joy, and you'll stand back and watch what the Father will do on your behalf. Make it so in your heart and in your life.